the parable of the prodigal son, we do not find out how that second older son responded to his father's encouragement or how the Pharisees responded to the parable. But we do find the Apostle Paul, who wrote our text for this morning, responding in the way that God would want us to. And so we read again from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 20, these words. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This is our text. Dear Christian friends, there may be someone that you have known your entire life and probably went to the same school that you did, but they picked on you and they took your things and you got angry and fought with them more than once. But when you got a little older and went away to college, you went your separate ways. But now you get together often and you would do anything for them. Why? What makes the difference? Well, they have the same parents. It's your brother or your sister. Your relationship with your parents affects how you look at them and how you act toward them. The same is true of our relationship with our Heavenly Father and how we relate to other people. As we look at our text, we see who we are changes our relationships with other people. God's relationship with us changes who we are, and it's Christ that changes our relationship with God. Let's think first about how who we are changes our relationships with other people. Paul writes, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Think for a minute about how you evaluate what other people are like. Much of it, I believe, is unconscious, based on outward impressions. One of the things that researchers have found is, first of all, that no one's face is totally symmetrical. That is exactly the same on both sides. But those faces that are the most symmetrical are the ones that we find to be most beautiful and attractive, even though we don't realize why that is. And we also tend to assume that good faces go along with good minds and a kind heart as well. It's also common to associate how people are dressed with what they're able to do. This is why you want to dress nice for a job interview, for example. And we tend to assume that those who are the most wealthy must be the most intelligent and able. Meanwhile, people with physical disabilities sometimes find that other people act as if they can't hear or talk either. Paul warns in verse 12 of this same chapter not to care about outward appearance, but not what was in the heart. The virtues and the faults of others may be more in our eyes and in our minds and in our ways of evaluating them. When we think highly of others, we tend to treat them well. Maybe unconsciously because we want them to like us and treat us well also. If we find that other people don't like us, the natural reaction is, well, I don't like you either. We may assume that what others do is what makes us react the way we do. They make me so angry, or sad, or happy. Which means that we are letting our behavior and our personality be controlled by other people. When we don't get along with others, we may tend to believe, well, it's all because of what they are like. The first thing to realize is that we are responsible for how we act and how we react and how we choose to respond to others. we have the relationships that we have learned how to have. So the only way to really have better relationships is for us to be better people and to behave and do as we do, not because of others and what they may do or what they may think, but because of who we are and what we are like. Word for that is having integrity. And changing how we act and how we relate is what changes relationships. So, when Paul writes here about regarding others, including Christ, according to the flesh, I think he means not only that he tended to judge others by outward appearances, but also that he judged them by his flesh, that is, by his sinful nature, according to whether or not they did what he wanted from them. But that changed, he says, because God's relationship with us changes who we are. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. What we are like makes a difference in relationships, but the relationships we have make a difference in us. Those who are treated as if they are worthless or stupid tend to learn to act in worthless and stupid ways. Those who are treated mean learn to act mean. Those who are treated with love learn to be loving. Paul says his relationship with Christ totally changed him and made him a new creation. In verse 15, the verse just before this text, he wrote, "He, that is Christ, died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." From Christ he learned that God loved him, not because of what he, Paul, was like, but because of what God is like, because God is loving. Like the first son in Jesus' parable, who was treated not according to his character or his behavior, but according to his father's loving character. So now Paul no longer has to constantly think about what he deserves and how he is better than other people, so constantly evaluating other people to make sure he is better. Paul learned that God made him good by taking away his sins, so that now he was good, and now he could live as a good person. God's love for him is what made the difference in who he was. He was now a dear child of God, with a glorious future, and nothing was going to change that or take it away. And so now he was able to act according to who he was. He did not need to be afraid or react with anger. He was loved, and so he was able to be loving. This relationship with Christ also is what changed his relationship with others. They were no longer competitors for God's love and blessings, but fellow creatures loved by God. Now his view of them was not what they could do for him, but what God could do for them and who they belonged to. So Paul was an ambassador. An ambassador of God to whom he belonged. He was like a salesman who saw everyone as a customer, because he knew that they all needed what he had, that is, the love of God. He knew the Corinthians to whom he was writing needed reconciliation with God so that they could be reconciled and get along with each other. This is what we need also today. And this happens all because of what Christ has done for us. Christ changes our relationship with God. Paul writes, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The world's way of reconciling people who don't get along is to adjust our idea of what is right and wrong. So that we begin to see that, well, what others do isn't really bad, because there is no such thing as bad, and, well, that means that what I do is not all that bad either. But God's way of reconciling is to identify bad for what it is, but then to take it away with his forgiveness. Notice that Paul writes that Christ reconciled us to God, not that God reconciled himself to us. God did not just say, well, I guess I will have to reconcile myself to the fact that people are sinful and just live with it that way. No, God is not the one who changes. God changes us. God always hates sin, but God always loves us. It is sinners who are hostile to that one who condemns their favorite sins, and so run away from that one who is constantly seeking them. They're the ones who must be changed to give up on their sinful ways and come back to the loving Father. God changes us through Christ, who takes away our sins. Paul says one thing that means is he no longer counts those sins against us. But this is not just on paper, like a bookkeeping procedure. Paul says not just that he carried our sins, but that he was made to be sin for us. Our sins became his. The true God became a true mortal man. The one who is truly righteous became sinful in order so that his death might suffer what all that sin causes and take it away. This continues to happen. Even though we continue to sin, God continually forgives us, transferring our sins to Christ and giving his love to us. The result is that now, Paul says, we become the righteousness of God. God gives us his righteousness and changes who we are. This is not anything that we can do for ourselves. Dead people can't make themselves alive. Creatures can't create themselves. But God's word caused creation. God's word causes the dead to become alive. God's word causes sinners to become righteous. God's word gives us faith and causes us to be born again. And once God has made us to be a new creation, we regard ourselves now and others differently. We can live as the people we are. We can love God and love others. We can share the wonderful good news that he has given us, the word of forgiveness that causes reconciliation. Who we are changes relationships with other people. Rather than just relating to other people according to how they appear to us, we can do what we do because of who we are. God's relationship with us changes who we are. God's love for us as his dear children is what makes us loving and causes us to be ambassadors of his love to others. And it's Christ that changes our relationship with God. God is the one who changes us by making Christ our sin so that we are changed into the righteousness of God and so caused to live out that righteousness in our lives here and in heaven forever. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen.